And turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew tonight, the book of Matthew. And Joshua and Brother Sean, if you guys could hand these out for me, I'd appreciate that. Book of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 29. Thank you. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to be looking at verse 24 through verse 29. And as you see there on your handout tonight, understand what we're dealing with here, and that is this, the secret of biblical discipleship. What is the secret? Well, it's obedience. And if we are to be a biblical disciple, we must be obedient to God and His Word. And here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 29, I want you to look there. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Let's bow for a word of prayer, and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you that, Lord, no matter how many times we read a certain passage or even just a verse or a part of a verse, Lord, there's each and every time you desire to speak to us. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this very familiar passage tonight, that you would speak to our hearts and that we'd draw closer to you and help us, Lord, as we leave here tonight, Lord, to be a biblical disciple, to be desiring to obey you in everything that we say and do. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us tonight. If there's anyone under the sound of my voice that does not know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you tonight. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, here in this passage, we're reading of what is known, of course, as the wise man and foolish man. And most people, if you if they've been involved in religion, Christianity, if you will, for any time at all, if you were to ask them to tell you about the wise man and the foolish man, most people who have been to church for any time at all, they would be able to tell you at least the main theme of the story. They would at least be able to say, well, one man built his house on the sand, and one man built his house on a rock, and there was a storm, and one house fell, and the other one stood firm. Most people know at least that truth about this parable that was taught here. We know this passage well. We may have heard it taught or preached with many different applications. And tonight, I would like to look at this tonight in the scope of discipleship. And understand here, of course, all Scripture has one interpretation, amen, but many applications. The Lord gave us His Word, and it means one thing when the Lord tells us, this is what my Word says, therefore that's how we should read the Word of God. However, I'm sure you found it to be true, and I definitely have, and depending on what I'm going through at that time, the Lord can speak to my heart in different ways in the exact same chapter. And praise the Lord that we serve a living God, and this is a living book, and the Lord can speak to us every single time the Word of God is opened. But as we look at this secret of discipleship tonight, you know, I like to hear secrets. And some people like to hear secrets, but they can't keep a secret. My flesh likes to hear something that's a secret. And, you know, that may be the prideful part of us or whatever. Well, I know something that this many people don't know. Well, when it comes to discipleship, I say that secret of discipleship tonight, not because it's something that the Lord is trying to keep from us or something that only a certain amount of people can know about. No, I call it the secret because this obedience is oftentimes the missing piece in people's lives. Many people, they may desire to be what they would call a disciple, but they don't desire to be obedient to God's word. They don't desire to take what the word of God says, apply it to their own heart, and allow the Holy Spirit to help them to live that out. You know, obedience is something that we all understand, but yet something that every single one of us struggle with. All of us do. Obedience is not hard to understand. What is it? It's hard to live out. That's what obedience is. From a very young age, when our parents says, hey, do this or do such and such or don't go there or whatever, what are our parents expecting? They're expecting obedience. Have you ever found out that you don't have to teach a child to disobey? Why is that? Because it's in our flesh. You don't have to teach a believer to disobey God either. Why? Because our flesh doesn't want to obey God. Our flesh wants to run the opposite direction of what God has called us to do. But in the Christian life, there are two types of people. There are those who hear but do not obey, and those who hear and do obey. But only one of those combinations will be true in a biblical disciple. We must hear what the word of God says and do it. That is obedience. Obedience is nothing short of what the Bible says and living that out. That is obedience. Anything short of that is disobedience. So notice, first of all, there on your handout tonight, notice the people described. We have two people described in this passage here, in this parable. And here in verse, starting in verse 24, notice about halfway through, I will liken him unto a wise man. There's man number one. And then man number two, look at halfway through verse 26, it says, shall be likened unto a foolish man. So we've got two people that are being talked about here. You've got a wise man and you've got a foolish man. Now, if I was to ask us tonight, well, who wants to live their life being known as a foolish person? All of us would say, well, I don't want to be known as that. I want to be known as someone that's wise, someone that's mature, someone that's knowledgeable. We don't want to be known as someone who's foolish, but understand this. If we don't obey the word of God, we're just like this foolish man here. We're foolish. We need to obey the word of God. Here in this story, we see that there's a wise man and a foolish man, and both of these individuals were involved in a building project. In either circumstance, neither one of these men was, one was building a house and the other one was being lazy. No, both of them were building a structure. And the Bible doesn't give us any indication to believe that they were different structures. So for the sake of this message tonight, I want us in our minds to see a wise man and a foolish man. Both of them have the exact same blueprints for the exact same house. They're both going to build the exact same structure. From the outside, it looks exactly, these two houses look exactly the same. So whether you have a picture of your house in your mind or another house, whatever it may be, just picture two houses built the exact same way, one by a wise man and one by a foolish man. Both of these men had a structure that was going up. Both of them, no doubt, had laid out the plans for the structure they wanted to build. However, there was something that was missing in one of their structures, and it was the foundation. It wasn't being built on something that was going to last. As we consider the area of discipleship and being a biblical disciple, understand that it goes much further than just attending church or just reading the Bible. It goes beyond just doing certain things. All people are building a life. Understand that. Everyone, no matter what your age is, no matter how young or how old you may be, everyone is building a life here on this earth. Every single one of us. But only the wise biblical disciples are giving heed to what the foundation of that life is. Now, for the sake of the message tonight, what I would like us to understand is this, that if we see both of these men just for the sake of discipleship tonight, I want us to see both of these men as ones who have trusted Christ as their Savior. Both of them have trusted Christ. They've repented of their sins. They know that they're on their way to heaven. But understand, one is building a life that's following the Lord, and the other one is not. We all know ones who have trusted Christ as their Savior, and if you were to look at their life, you would say, well, they're not building a life that's following the Lord. Now, by the word of their testimony, they're saved, and that's all any of us can go by, is the word of someone's testimony. But for the sake of this tonight, I want us to see these two men, and in our minds, see that they've both trusted Christ, they're both building a house, but one is missing the right foundation. Here we see these two men, and both were building, both had beautiful structures. They were both very hard workers, and we see that very often in churches today. Many people get the idea that simply because they are doing good things that they are pleasing the Lord, but we must consider the foundation. The foundation that I'm talking about tonight is the obedience and why we are obeying the Lord. Why are we serving in the ministry? Why are we getting involved in these things? You see, there are reasons, there's motives behind what we do. And if we are to be a biblical disciple, our motive behind what we're doing should be the right motive. There's many people who serve in a certain ministry simply because that's what they were asked to do or because that's what is needed. And those are not bad things. If we're asked to serve in a ministry or if there's a void, well, we've all been there where we had to jump in and serve in this area or in that area because there was no one to do that. And it's a good thing to be flexible like that, to be fluid, if you will. But understand this, when we fill a role temporarily or permanently, either way, we should fill that in response to what our motive is. Why do we run a church bus? Well, because we want to serve the Lord. We want to see people saved, and that's God's desire. Why do we have people that serve in Sunday school classes? They're not doing that simply because someone came to them and said, well, you're going to teach this or else. No, they are to do that simply because they desire to serve the Lord. There's an opportunity for them to serve. We have ones that serve in the live stream and the sound booth and all of that. My man Sammy's back there tonight, amen. He's running it tonight. He's got all the power of the sound in his hands. Amen. But all of these things that we do day in and day out as believers, we're either doing them to serve the Lord and to obey Him, or we're doing it for the praise of men. It's one or the other. Only one is going to provide the right foundation for your life. And what I have found in I believe we would all agree with this, is if we have some places in our lives in which we are striving to be men pleasers, that is also going to leak over and even into the things that we do, quote, for God. If we're out in our life and as we go through our life, we're trying to please men and we're trying to do what men would be happy with and all of that. Many times that also comes into the church house and the ministry that we're serving in. And understand, we should do what we're doing for God. We should do it to the best of our ability. We should do everything to the best of our ability as believers. But our goal should be obedience to God. Our motive should never be to please men, but rather to obey the Lord. Look over at the book of Philippians, if you will. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 1 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. Look what the Bible says here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, and having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So notice there, it tells us exactly how we should live, but the only way we're going to live as a biblical disciple, the only way that we're going to live in obedience to God's word, to have this this secret recipe, if you will, is to do exactly what we see in verse 5. Look at verse 5 of that passage we just read. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What do we see through the ministry of Christ? Well, what we don't see is that Christ was worried about being a man pleaser or men pleaser. No, he didn't care about that. What did he care about? He cared about men, of course. He cared about people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. But his desire here on earth was to preach the truth to people, to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what did he say throughout his ministry? He said this. He said, I must be about my Father's business. He wasn't trying to do something so that people would just look at him. He wasn't trying to do something so that people could say something like, well, he's just out there doing his own thing. No, he made no bones about it. He said this, I must be about my Father's business. He was only interested in being obedient. Now, what about when people see our lives? What do our lives tell others about who we are obeying? There's many people who call themselves believers that if you were to look at their life, you would never guess that they're obeying the Lord. You would never guess that they were living in a way that pleases God. No, quite the contrary. But our mindset is to be the mind of Christ. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we're either a wise man or we are a foolish man. This is to be our mindset, the mindset that does things for the purpose of pleasing the God of heaven. Now, notice number two this evening. Notice the storm that came. The storm that came. So first of all, we saw the people described. Second of all, the storm that came. Throughout this parable that's being told here, we see, of course, that there's two men. We see that there are two different houses here. And understand this as we look at this passage here. As we read these verses, look at the wording that is given in verse 25. Speaking of the wise man's house in verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Now, let's stop right there for just a moment. Jump down to verse 27. Now speaking of the foolish man's house. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. I didn't see any differences in the storm that came to these men's houses. Do you? I don't see that one storm was stronger than another, or that this storm had slightly faster wind or more beating rain or whatever. No, it's the exact same storm that came to both of these men's houses. So think about this storm here. It was an absolutely torrential downpour. The Bible says here that the winds blew and beat upon that house. That word beat, it means this, to violently strike. Now, I've been through some storms. I know all of us have been through some storms. I can think of a time when we were out in Missouri. As I was growing up there, we were supposed to have a storm coming through, and they said it was going to have golf ball sized hail. Now, thinking back then, my mindset as a child was this: this is going to be awesome. Seeing these big chunks of ice just falling out of the sky, because in my mind, well, this house is indestructible. Nothing's going to happen to this house. Of course, in my dad's mind, he's like, okay, what are we going to do with the cars? How are we going to keep these cars from getting beat up and all of these things? But I was ready for this storm. I was ready. Now, we did get some hail. It was about half that size, still, pretty large chunks of ice, but it didn't do much damage there. But I say all that to say this: this was a storm that was violent. This storm was striking very, very hard. The storm beat violently upon the wise man's house, just as it did on the foolish man's house. Now, for some reason, many believers have the idea that because they're saved, storms shouldn't come to them. The Bible doesn't teach that at all. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said that trials are going to come. In this world ye shall have tribulations. They're going to come. The struggles are going to happen. Many people, though, believe that difficulty should not be part of a believer's life, especially not in the life of someone who's striving to live as a biblical disciple. In many of our minds, we would say, well, why is this storm happening to me? Look at the way they're living. Why do they not have a storm going on in their life? Well, look at Job. Job was a man who loved God. He eschewed evil, the Bible says. What happened? Well, at the after he had this great amount of wealth and he had all of these things, all of this cattle and herds and just all of this houses and barns and servants and all of this, even his own children were doing well for themselves, and he lost everything. His own wife even said, "Curse your God and die." His own friends who were supposed to be his closest friends, every time one of them opened their mouth, they would say things like this: "Well, I don't know what you've done against God, but obviously you're being judged for something." Everyone was against Job, not because he did something wrong, but because he did everything right. Now, I'm not saying he was a perfect man by no means, but what I'm saying is this: the Bible itself calls him a righteous man, and yet storms came. Judgment came. There were some things that happened in Job's life that he didn't understand. In the book of Job, you find this man who was once very well-to-do, and you find him on his knees, sitting in a pile of ashes, clothed with sackcloth and ashes, and yet you at the end of that book, you see Job saying something like this: "Lord, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Storms are going to come against the wise and the foolish. But I don't know about you, but if storms are going to come, I want to do everything I can to make sure my house is built on the right foundation. Because I know storms are going to come. So why would I procrastinate and not build it on the right foundation? The simple fact that you are a Christian and a biblical disciple does not in any way mean that you will escape the storms of life, but it does mean that you can be safe from the storm. It does mean that. Something that's interesting here is this. The safety was not found in the house that they were in. Wasn't found there. Both men, when the storm came, notice here, can you see these men? You've got these two men in your minds. And as I mentioned before, we're looking at these two houses, identical houses, and one is built over here and one is built over here. Think about that storm that's coming, and it's on its way. They can see it in the horizon. And both of these men may be standing there inside of their houses, and they see this storm coming, and they're looking up at their house. Well, this house is built great. There's great structure here. I followed my plans to a T. They're inside that house. They're safe. They're dry from the elements. Though it's raining, they're not getting wet. Inside, they were safe. However, there was a difference. That was the foundation. The end of verse 25 says this. Let's read the whole verse there. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 27, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So according to this parable here, the safety, understand, the safety is not found in the house itself, but rather in the foundation that it's built upon. Both of these men had what mankind from the outside would consider structurally sound houses. But there was something that was weak. It was nothing from the ground up. No, it was what it was supposed to be founded upon. When the storm comes, we must ensure that we are built on the right foundation. The great architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, was given the challenge of building the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, one of the most earthquake-prone cities in the world. Wright's investigation showed that a solid foundation could be, quote, floated on a 60-foot layer of soft mud underlying the hotel, which would provide a shock-absorbing but solid support for the immense building. Shortly after the hotel was completed, it withstood the worst earthquake in 52 years, while the buildings around it fell in ruins. All because he figured out what the foundation needed to be. You know, the same is true with biblical disciples. Someone who is striving to be a biblical disciple, one who has trusted Christ in their personal as their personal Savior and is striving to live in obedience to Him, their foundation for living is built differently than someone who's living in disobedience to God's Word. Their foundation is just different there. Though the storms come, though difficulties come in their life, understand this, if we're striving to obey the Lord, if we are doers of the word and not hearers only, understand that when the storms come, because they're going to come, but when the storm comes, if we are doers and not only hearers, our house will stand. So first of all, notice this, the people described. Secondly, I want you to notice this. Secondly, we saw the storm that came. Thirdly, let's notice this, the line that was drawn. Here in verse 28 and verse 29, notice the Bible says this, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Notice this here, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke as one who had authority. He spoke as someone who knew what he was talking about. He was not questioning these things. No, he just spoke these things boldly. He drew lines where lines needed to be drawn. You know, drawing lines are not a bad thing to do. Actually, it's a very biblical thing to do, to have certain places we will not go, things that we will not do. If we are biblical disciples, understand this, the Bible is going to draw those lines in our life. Not one time do we read through the Bible and it says this, well, you can do this if you really want to, but it's not the best thing to do. No, it's either you can do this or you cannot do this, one or the other. It's pretty black and white as you read the Bible. But the truth of the matter is this, many people do religious things, doing things in church, and they would call themselves busy in the ministry. But remember what we talked about earlier, if they're doing it for the approval of men or for any reason apart from doing it because of what Christ has done for us, their foundation is wrong and they cannot be a biblical disciple because they're not allowing the Bible to draw those lines for them. In today's time, there's a word that absolutely gets under my skin. There's a lot of those words, but and most of them are those things that we see in these word salads, if you will, that politicians put out. But I'll tell you, a word that absolutely gets under my skin is the word tolerance. That word has been taken out of context so much. What this world says is tolerance is this. Well, whatever people do, right or wrong, you can't speak about it. Well, that is unless you're a believer, and then apparently everyone can speak about it. You don't have to be tolerant to ones who are obeying the Bible or ones that are speaking out against their whacked out beliefs. No, what this world says is tolerance is not tolerance. The word itself is not a bad word, but the idea that this world attributes to it, this world, and even in many churches today, they use the word tolerance as an excuse to get out of drawing lines of separation. And I am in no way in favor of being unchristlike in the way that that we draw lines. There are right ways and wrong ways to do things and say things. However, we should never apologize for obeying the Bible. Never apologize for doing what's right. The Lord drew lines. He did that because that is what was in his heart. That's why obedience is such an important ingredient in the Christian life, because the Bible will draw the lines for us. We don't have to question, whether we can do this or whether we should do that. No, just obey the Bible. It'll guide us. It will direct us. Look at Luke chapter 6, if you will. Luke chapter 6, and look at verse 45 through 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 through 46. Notice what the Bible says here. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 and 46. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Of course, then it goes on into the rest of this passage here, and another account of scripture of the same parable that we're talking about here. But here in this, in these two verses, we're taught a principle that we as believers have got to get a hold of if we are to be biblical disciples, and that is this: if our desire is to follow the Lord and be a biblical disciple, then our life and the decisions we make through our life are going to reflect that. It's going to happen. It will be shown in our attitude. It will be shown in our manner of life. It will be shown in our speech and in our work, the way that we serve the Lord inside and outside of the church. All of those things will ring true to what we are following. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, it says this: "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" The Lord is saying is this: why are you attributing yourself to my name if you're not going to obey me? Why are you telling people that you're following me, yet you're going and doing the exact opposite of what I've told you to do? You see, it's hypocritical of us to condemn the people in Christ in that day that heard and didn't obey if there's anything in this book that we have heard and have not obeyed. But it's a lot easier for us to point fingers, isn't it? A lot easier for me to say, well, so-and-so is not obeying this and so-and-so is not obeying this. No, we need to focus on ourselves, focus on obeying God with our own life. It's wrong of us to condemn people today who may not be living the way that they should, because none of us live the way that we should all of the time. We're all human. We all have the human nature, this human flesh. Let's focus on obedience to the Lord and all that he says. Let's focus on that. And then notice, lastly here, notice number four, the principle that is given. The principle that is given. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. I've got some different places in my Bible in which I have some things marked. If you mark in your Bible, this is a good place to do that. If you don't mark in your Bible, that's fine. Just write down these notes somewhere. But I've found that it helps me, because as I read through things, if I don't write it down, I'm going to forget about it. And so it helps me to write things down. But here in this verse, Matthew 7, verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Here's what I have written there. I have these two words, hear and heed. We are to be hearers of the word, and we are also to be doers of the word. We hear what God says, and we heed to what he has told us to do. It is a simple principle, yet it is profound, isn't it? How do we become biblical disciples? By hearing and doing. By understanding what the Bible says and living that out through our life. It's a foolish thing for us to know that God is speaking to our hearts, yet make no response to what the Lord is saying. The only type of obedience, understand this, the only type of obedience is immediate obedience. That's the only type. Anything else is disobedience. I've said it many times. Delayed obedience is immediate disobedience. When God speaks, we must obey. And something we must understand, and this is what you can write there at the very bottom in those blanks, is this. Obedience is not simply doing the will of God. Obedience is not simply doing the will of God. It is delighting in doing his will. Obedience is not simply doing the will of God, it is delighting in his will. You see, there's a difference there. If I tell one of my children to go and do such and such, whatever it may be, they may go and do that, but this obedience we're talking about tonight is this, doing it with the right heart attitude. You know, there's a lot of people that are what we would consider serving the Lord today, but they're not doing it with the right heart attitude. They're not obeying the Lord. But wait a second, how can you say they're not obeying the Lord? They're running a church bus, or they're teaching a Sunday school class, or they're singing in special music, involved in a choir, or they're even going out and giving out tracts, whatever it may be. But understand this, if we're not doing it with the right heart attitude and doing it because this is what we get to do for our Lord, then even though we may be doing the right things, we are still living in disobedience. It's all about how and why we are doing it. There are many what we would consider obedient Christians in man's eyes, but they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Obedience is delighting in the will of the Lord. Let me ask you this question tonight, or these questions rather. Why do we go to church? Why do we dress the way that we dress? Why do we read our Bible? Why do we listen to certain music? Why do we go certain places and not go other places? You know, those are going to be questions that come from this world, and even some believers are going to be asking those things. Why do we do those things? We need to have an answer for them. Why do you go to church? Well, I go to church because, excuse me, because that's something that we've just always done. Wrong answer. Why do you go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night? Well, because, it just makes me feel better, I guess. Wrong answer. Why do you go to church? Well, we go to church because it's the opportunity we have to hear the Word of God preach, and the Word of God can speak to our hearts. We get to sing praises unto God. And we go to church simply because what Christ has done for us, we want to obey Him and His Word. Why do you read your Bible? Because I need the Word of God. It's not because it's some crutch like this world says. What's this world doing with this book? They're taking it out of everywhere, and there's no hope that they can find anywhere. We as the Church of the Living God, we need to be able to stand up and say, this Bible means something to me. This Bible is important. We read the Word of God because it's precious to us. But there's many people who, they may own a Bible. They may even read the Bible. But if someone out in this world says, why do you carry that around? They wouldn't give them much of an answer. Lord, help us to be obedient and to serve the Lord with the right heart attitude. Why do you dress that way? Well, because I want to please the Lord with my appearance. Why do you listen to that kind of music? It's because I don't want to be influenced by the sinful music of this world. Because these things are what we've been commanded to do. The least we can do is obey the Word of God after everything that Christ has done for us. Church, the Christian life does not have to be something that is just dragging us down all the time. It's not supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be a fulfilling life. It's supposed to be the abundant life, a joyful life. Yes, there's going to be storms. Yes, there's going to be troubles that come. But if we're obeying the Lord, if we have a desire to be a biblical disciple, understand this, that foundation is secure, that foundation is settled. And though those storms are going to come, though the rain is going to come, and though the wind is going to beat against the house, and all of these things, understand this, if we are living as a biblical disciple and we're obeying the Lord, we're going to be safe from those things. The Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy is going to fall someday. Scientists travel yearly to measure the building's slow descent. They report that the 179-foot tower moves about 1/20th of an inch every year. As of the time of this writing here, I don't know when that was. It could have been last month. It could have been 5 years ago. I don't know. But as of the time of this writing here, the Tower of Pisa was 17 feet out of plumb. Think about how far that had leaned. They further estimate, I guess this is a older writing because this is going to date it here. They further estimate that by the year 2007, I don't know who remembers 2007. Samuel, what year were you born? Wow. He was born in 2010. Man. 2007, they said the 810-year-old tower will have leaned too far and will collapse into the nearby what is called the Ristorante, where scientists now gather to discuss their findings. Quite significantly, the word Pisa means marshy land, which gave some clue to why the tower began to lean even before it was ever completed. You know the foundation for that tower that's leaning is only 10 feet into the ground. Think about that. Into marshy land. That tower is going to fall. There are many believers who started out strong, but over time they've let some things slip. There's many believers that though they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior and their eternity is secure, their foundation's not very deep. Not because it's impossible for them to have a deep foundation, but because they're more worried about the structure on the top than what it's being built upon. Lord, help us. Many believers just aren't following the Lord like they used to, not witnessing like they used to, not living with the same zeal that they used to live with. They've moved just a little bit each time, but over time you can see, just like this tower here, that they've gotten off track. And understand this, if this is you tonight, then you can get back on track tonight. Don't continue down that path. Don't allow your life to end in ruin like this tower is going to end. We can stand strong for the Lord. The same storms are going to come like we talked about in the beginning of the message tonight. But we need to be obedient to God. The secret to biblical discipleship is obedience. It's the foundation in which it's built upon. So as we go through life, as we desire to be a biblical disciple, something we're going to have to do each and every day is this. Ask the Lord, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Is there anything in my life that's contrary to your word? But be ready, because he's going to show us some things. He's going to point out some things. There's going to be things that come to our mind, and it may be, well, you had this thought yesterday. You need to yield control of your mind over to me. Well, you said these things yesterday. You need to get your tongue into subjection. Well, there's this thing here you did with the wrong motive yesterday, and over the Holy Spirit's going to show us those things. And if we yield to the Holy Spirit when he shows us those things, we can be a biblical disciple, because that's obedience. Hear and heed. But as soon as we say, well, I don't want to go that far. Well, I don't want to make those changes. Well, I don't want to do that. Well, if I do that over there, then so-and-so may think that I'm weird. Well, they probably already do, amen. So just keep going for the Lord. But the truth is this, the secret to biblical discipleship is obedience. Let's be obedient to God and His Word. Whatever God says, let's do it. Then and only then can we be a biblical disciple.